sing the calm sea with Jesus. The disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We are helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith? Because you've prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. And by now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know that you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
When you're up there worried that he's fast asleep, the winds are so deadly, the water's so deep, but try to be patient, 'cause soon it'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it all must cease. Because you've prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
Let's stand this evening, amen. Prayed all night. Amen. You know, I thought of something this week on WhatsApp, how easy it is just to push that praying hands eye emoji instead of stopping and really praying. Or just saying to someone, I know how you feel when you've never really walked there. That's often been on my heart. Now, you want to talk about kidney stones, come talk to me. Me and Aaron are experts. I got number six. I've had six. I don't know where you're at. But that was the last one, too, by the way. Amen. Amen. But seriously, that's off. It's so easy just to, but to stop and give the Lord thanks or pray. Amen. But we're anchored in Jesus this evening, and we're going to turn it over to our brother. Amen. On life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll, I fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchored of my soul. When trials and fears assail me, storms of gathering o'er, I rest upon his mercy and trust him more. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, I hear my voice sing. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has left heart is safe. I've anchored in the rock of ages. Keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice is still the water that the torment sees. My private and deliverer, to him I all confide. He's always when I need him, he's inside. I've anchored in Jesus, for him a life I praise. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrow and shield. Brother Bob can come, amen. Prepared for me, I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages.
Amen. That's right. We've got an anchor to anchor us in the midst of the storm. God bless you, saints. We're going to turn to Psalm 105 tonight. And just take a little topic, the Spirit of the Lord. Thank God for the Spirit of the Lord moving in our lives to act and to do and to correct our behavior and to perform miracles and wonders. Let's just bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word tonight, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll just minister to each need, Lord. I'm just thinking about, Lord, what you said, or your prophet said, and as he ministered that sermon, the greatest battle ever fought. He said, you know, we might have a little egg. We might be in a little eggshell, and it's really up to us to make our way out of that eggshell, Lord. Nobody can help us out, Lord, but what we can do tonight is give a little word that give something to somebody that they could help them get out of that eggshell. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just take the words that I speak, Lord, and let them drop right down into the heart, Lord. And Lord, we know that tonight you're just searching for some good ground where that word can drop, Lord, and it can produce what's written here in the pages of your word. And we ask your blessing upon the words tonight, Lord Jesus. Bless our hearts, Lord, that we'll receive what you have in store for us tonight, Lord. And bless my lips, Lord, that I'll speak only the truth. We ask in your name, Lord, be with us tonight. Amen. Amen. So let's read Psalm 105 from verses 1 down to about verse 15. It's kind of a long read, but it's got some good encouraging things here. And David says, he said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he hath commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yet very few and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." God bless you. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, you think about what he's saying there in that what David is really given notice to as he wrote that song is that it's God that's doing things in our lives, and he made all these promises, and he fulfilled his covenants to the children of Israel, and he made all these promises, and it wasn't the children of Israel. It wasn't Gideon with just his few people. It wasn't Abraham with his works of himself. It wasn't any kind of oath that Isaac made, but it was God working in their midst. It was the Spirit of the Lord moving through the lives of these prophets, through the lives of the anointed. It was not the men, not the words that they spoke, but it was the anointing on them, the Spirit of God in them to move and to speak words of life through these people. And all the words that those prophets were speaking pointed that there was coming a Christ one day, that God would manifest in the flesh and he would be present. It all pointed to him. And you think that everything that we do and everything that we live for is not for our own efforts, not for our own works, not for our own glorification, but we're all doing something together to manifest God, to point toward God, to see his works move among us, to see his works move in our life, to see his life manifested in the church. Now, back in 1960, when Brother Branham preached that sermon, Discernment of Spirit, he said back then, in that year, 1960, they were having an election in that year. And they were going to elect either, it was John F. Kennedy or Richard Nixon were on the ballot. And they were going to have an election. Now, here we are in another year. We're in an election. Who's going to be president this year? We've got another election this year. And you think in your mind, you start thinking, well, I think I know which way it's going to go. And maybe sometimes people even, they'll make like a little prophecy, a little statement. It's going to be this way or it's going to be that way. And now Brother Branham said, I wonder today who's going to be the next president. The election's coming up. You know, who's going to be the president this next term? What if I knew? There's only one that does know, and that's God. And what if God would reveal to me who's going to be the next president? And I stood here in Phoenix and made a prediction that such and such a man would be the next president of the United States. And they would place that in papers and so forth. And I'd hit it right on the dot. It would be perfect. And it would be all that I said would come to pass. Oh, but think about what he's saying. What good would it do? What good would it do for them to parade out in the newspaper, to have the little newsboys out on the street like they used to do in New York City? Read all about it. William Branham has said who the next president is going to be. What good would it do if any of us could make a forecast like that and tell everybody about it? What good would it do? All it would do is glorify you. All it would do is say, well, this person got it right. He said, what good is it anyhow if I should do such a thing? God doesn't use his power and his gifts for foolishness. I think there's a great lesson for us in those kind of things that, you know, even in your life, I can't count how many times people have made little statements about what's going to come to pass, or made little statements about to almost like threatenings about how so-and-so has discernment or so-and-so has that. And you know, it's almost crass to say, but you know, when you make a statement that you've got discernment or so-and-so's got discernment, you almost want to say, well, can you discern? Can you discern your own life? Can you discern their own problems in your own life before you're so quick to make statements like that? Make sure, check up your own life. Check up your own self. Check up your own doings. You see, but God doesn't want to see ourselves glorified. He doesn't want to see our own works glorified, but he wants to see himself glorified. And that's what we're here doing on this Wednesday night at this little church in the middle of nowhere. We're here not to see ourselves glorified or to look at the preacher behind the pulpit, but to see God glorified, to glorify him. And Brother Bram said, if I made such a prediction as that and it come to pass and the newspapers packed it and the magazines, then it would be to my glory. People say, look what a great prophet Brother Branham is. He told us long before it happened just who would be president, and that would be to my glory. Aren't you glad that we're not following a man that tried to seek his own glory, but he continuously pointed to Jesus Christ? Everything he did was to see God be glorified. God wants to be edified, and we're to not seek self-edification, but to edify God with all that we do. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 24, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let's take a step back and so we don't get lost in what I'm preaching about tonight. We know here at this church that we preach often about how that your greatest enemy is yourself. But I wonder if you've really taken into account what that really means. Your whole Christian journey from your new birth, you're dying out to yourself. You're saying, I want to escape the system that I was in. I want to escape the way that I thought. And you die out to yourself, and God comes into your life and begins to feel quicken the word that you've heard. And because you've died out to yourself, the whole growth up the stature of a perfect man is you're dying out to yourself. You grow until you've got that final battle of your will to face there in that Garden of Gethsemane where Christ. Well, it was a battle of my will, not the devil over there, but my will. My will is your battle. My will, not my will, but thine be done is what Christ said in the Garden of Gethsemane. So our whole battle, our whole Christian journey is to lay down our own will, to lay down our own, because you've got that battle in your mind constantly. You've got those things in your mind where I want this. I want this to happen. I want these things to do. But you got to lay that down. You got to lay it down so that God can be manifest in your life, so that God can be glorified. And Psalm 115:1, it said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, not unto us. We don't want glory. We don't want any glory. Even to where Brother Branham said, if you rise above the dust, then you have risen above God. If you rise above the dust, and that's how lowly God wants us to be, so lowly that we can get down and wash our brother's feet, so lowly that we can do something for our brother and our sister, so lowly that we can escape past our will and let God's will be performed in us. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That's what Jesus told us. You got to take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. And what is your cross? To deny yourself, to deny your own will, to deny your own thoughts, your own desires, and be crucified on that cross every day of your life. Like Paul said, I die daily. Every day I've got to die. Every day I've got to die to my own will so that God's will can be manifest in my life. And Brother Branham will say, God, when he uses his gifts, he uses them for his own glory and for the glory of his people. Amen. For the glory of his church, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and for the glory of the kingdom of God. And he said, that's why he has teachers, prophets, evangelists, pastors. They are for the edification of the church. Amen. And for the glory of God. Right. Right. He even said a minister is supposed to reveal God to the church and stay out of the things of the world. It's all for the glory of God. It's all for the glory of God. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Brother Bob, what are you talking about tonight? I'm talking about how to discern whether something is really God moving or not. In your own life, in the life of others, in the life of the church, the way you can look at a situation to see if it's God moving or not. Yep, Brother Bram said, and a minister has an order from God, and that order is for the discerning of spirit, trying the spirit. How are you going to try the spirit? You preach the word and see what happens. Preach the word, because the word is still a discerner of the heart, the thoughts and intents of the heart. You preach the word and it will cause a reaction. It will stir up something. Your spirit will begin to vibrate and you can't stand it and you'll leave, or you'll stay there and resent it, or you'll open up your heart and begin to believe it, and something will begin to happen. What will happen? The spirit of the Lord will begin to take over that individual's life. It'll take over your life. It'll take over my life. If we give sway to our will, if we die out of our own will and let God's will be performed in us, then the Spirit of the Lord can take control. And that's when you know that God's moving on the scene, when it's God working and doing in somebody's life. And that's why Brother Bram said we should never judge a person by the group that they belong to or by the group that they are assembled with. We should always judge him how? By the Spirit. Amen. He has. By the Spirit he has. See, the Spirit. We are to discern spirits. Watch what the man has in his mind. what he's trying to achieve. Amen. The 1 John chapter 4 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Now, there's a question for us tonight. Do we know how to try spirit? Do we know what to look for? Are we just looking for a lot of learning, or are we looking for the motive and the objective? Because you can have a lot of learning and a lot of understanding, but you could just be a terrible, you can have terrible motives. You'd want to seek your own glorification. You want to be all puffed up and put other people down and be terrible. But, if you've got the right spirit, and what is the right spirit? To see God glorified. Amen. Now, listen, as we go along, we'll find out what we're looking for. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets, Amen. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. How are you going to know them? Ye shall know them by their fruits, by the way that the Spirit of the Lord is reflecting and acting himself out in that person's life. You can look at that person and see Christ made manifest in them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Will draw at what? What's really in that person's heart?
Right.
Do they have really pure motives, or are they just in it for personal gain?
Right.
Are they in it for money? Are they in it for popularity? Are they in it to be built up so that everybody looks at them and says, wow, what a great individual? Or are they doing it so that God can be Amen. Glorified?
Right.
He said, if a man comes and he has a great gift, no matter if he belongs to our group or another group, don't judge him by what group he come from, how he dresses. But what you want to see is what he's trying to do with that gift. What purpose he has. What purpose he has. No matter how great a teacher he is, how powerful he is, how intellectual he is, or how his gift operates, if he isn't trying to achieve something for the benefit of the body of Christ, your own spiritual discernment would tell you that that's wrong. No matter how accurate, how perfect, how it is, it's wrong if it isn't used for the body of Christ. Maybe he'd say to take that gift and make himself famous so he'll have a big name so that other brethren will look up to him as some big person. Then that's wrong.
Amen.
Oh, you see, if you want everybody to look up to you as some great person, the greatest that can do something in the church or whatever, then it's your motives and your objectives is wrong.
Amen.
Oh, but the Spirit of the Lord will always humble himself. They'll always try to lift up the other person. And we don't humble ourselves by talking down to one another or making fun, but we'll humble ourselves by God will allow things to humble you. God will take, maybe he'll pull back things like he did with Job and allow him to sit on an ash heap for a little bit, allow things to, all of his friends to come around and poke at him and say, well, I think you're guilty. I think guilty, guilty. And that finger pointed at him until he got to, he began to realize something. He needed God. But you see, it's all so that God could be manifest in our lives. He said maybe he's trying to edify a certain thing here that he wants everybody else to get out of the picture and let him and his group be the picture. That's still wrong.
Amen.
What's he saying is wrong? The spirit is wrong. The spirit that's moving that individual is wrong. But if you've got the right spirit, it will manifest. It will manifest in the fruits that you can see.
Amen.
If he has a gift of God and he's trying to edify the body of Christ, then I don't care what he belongs to. You're not discerning the man. You're discerning the spirit, the life that's in the man. It's the life that's in the man. You know, Brother Brown taught us that if you could take that life that was in John Dillinger and put it in somebody else, then all of a sudden he'd be twirling his guns and shooting up the place. Because the life that was in that gunslinger now would be in the other individual. It'd be in you. And you take the life of Christ and put it in an individual, and it will start acting like Jesus Christ. It will start acting and walking. Proverbs 25:27, it's not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Amen.
Oh, to think tonight that God is looking for people that'll be servants.
Yeah.
People that'll lift other people up. That'll say a word of encouragement and not try to be lifted up in themselves.
Right.
In 1 Corinthians 3:21, therefore let no man glory in men. For all things are yours. Think about what that's saying. Let no man glory in men. Don't put all your hopes on a particular leadership or a particular movement.
Right. Right.
For all things are yours, which means as a Christian, you've got all these benefits that are laying here in the scripture.
Right.
You've got access to all these things are yours. Now, that's what God told us. That's what God told us to do, to discern the spirit in the man.
Amen.
What he's trying to do, what the spirit in his life is trying to lead him to.
Amen.
Maybe we could all look in the mirror of God's word tonight and look in the mirror and see what our motives are.
Right.
What are our motives tonight? Is it to be whatever your role is, to be the best, to be so that everybody can look at you? And is that what your motive is? Or is your motive really to help the church?
Amen.
Is your motive really to lift up others?
Amen.
And to benefit others so that Christ can be manifested in the church? What is he trying to do? The purpose of his heart that he's trying to get. If we can find out that he's trying to bring the church of the living God to an understanding of fellowship, a unity of spirit, not to break them up, but to bring them together.
Amen.
Even if he's not ever known or nothing.
Amen.
Oh, you think about that. That a real real Christian, whether spirit of God is moving in their life, they don't care if they're ever a big shot. They don't care if they're ever known. They don't care if they're ever in all the websites.
Right.
They don't care if they're on Facebook or anything. As long as God gets the glory.
Amen.
You could think that if you're going home tonight and you're laying there in your bed beside your bed and you're praying for the church and somebody gets a great miracle because of your prayer and nobody ever knows that you were laying there all night praying, but yet that's what your goal is, to see God be manifested in his church. Maybe you're praying for the ministry that God can really use him and anoint him, and nobody knows that you're alone in your prayer closet praying. Nobody knows that you're giving counsel to somebody, and nobody even knows what the secret words that you say because it's not publicly known. But because God is really moving in your life, that's all that matters to you. You're not interested in being puffed up and being lifted up, but you're interested in God using you so that God's word can be fulfilled. Oh, that's a real Christian. That's what God wants to see. That's the kind of Christian that God is going to come back and change their mortal body. And the world won't even know that they're missing because they're not a big shot. And they're not out there in the newspapers. They're not where everybody can see. But all of a sudden, they'll be gone. They'll be taken away. And why? Because they're not looking to be lifted up. Because they're looking for unity. They're looking to bring God's church together. They're looking for God to be molded into oneness in his people. That's why John chapter 5 verse 41 said, I receive not honor from men. Oh, you think how John could say that I receive not honor from men. In John chapter 5 verse 44, he said, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now that's the kind of honor that I want to seek. I want to seek the kind of honor that comes in that prayer closet along with God, where he comes down in the secret closet and he'll give you honor and recognition. Where one day Brother Branham said he'll pull you aside and he'll crown your life with adopted power. And he won't do it out in public where everybody can see it, but it'll do it alone where nobody knows but you and God alone. In Matthew chapter 6, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. God wants somebody with a secret life, a secret calling, a secret anointing, but God is dealing with you alone and you're not lifted up to be puffed up in front of other people.
Amen.
You're not lifted up so that others can look at you, but for money or popularity or wisdom or fame, but you're doing it for God and God alone.
Amen.
Oh, I want God to know. I want God to be pleased with me. Do you know?
Amen.
You know, you can be so pleasing to other people. You can go through your life where you're just a people pleaser and everybody's happy with you. But one day you'll have to stand before God and he'll say those words, hopefully, well done, my thou good and faithful servant. Well, that's what I want. I want him to say, well done. I'm not interested so much in whether popularity and all those things, but I want God to be pleased.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 3, Paul said, whatsoever ye do it heartily,
yeah,
as to the Lord and not unto men.
Amen.
Well, you think if we could live our lives like that, that the musicians, when they come up and play, if they could do it as though they're doing it for God, to make God happy, to play in a way that God's spirit could come and move in the church and not to please men.
That ministers, if we could really get ourselves out of the way and preach in a way that we don't care what people think, but that we're preaching in a way that we want to see God manifested, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. It's Christ that we're serving.
Amen.
Then you can see what's in the man's life,
Amen.
Whether his motives is for himself, whether it's for worldly fame, whether it's for big names, to say, I predicted that. Come just exactly to pass. Now you see that's wrong right there to begin with. Don't never disfellowship the other man because he don't belong with your group. See, discern his spirit and see if he's got the same purpose in heart. Then you got fellowship one with another. You're working for one great cause. That's the cause of Christ. Oh, if we could look at things like that. To recognize, oh, looking back and remembering how one day, that when you start your journey, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of things you don't understand. But if you're born again, you've got that promise
Amen.
That the Spirit of truth will lead and guide you into all truth.
Right.
Now, if we can look at others that same way, if they're born again, that same Spirit that led and guided you can lead and guide them.
Yes,
and so we don't push nobody out
right.
because they maybe don't see things clearly yet. We don't push nobody out, but we're all working toward one great goal.
Amen.
That's the cause of Christ.
Amen.
If we will notice the motives and objectives of the Old Testament prophets, then men had one motive, one objective, and that was Jesus Christ. They had one thing that their whole theme of the Old Testament was built around, the coming Messiah. They didn't go out and do things just for money or fame. They were anointed with the Spirit of God, and they predicted the coming Messiah. What was it? It was the Spirit of the Lord acting out within them, speaking words, the Spirit of the Lord preaching about the coming of the Spirit of the Lord in Christ. It was the Spirit of the Lord that was doing it. You know, that's what I'm talking about tonight, church, the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord that's doing and moving and making us behave ourselves. When the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of you, it'll make you change and make you act right and do right and walk right and talk right. Oh, you take a minister today with the Holy Ghost. He don't care whether he's got a big church or a little church. He don't care whether he has today's food or no food. He don't care whether he's got good clothes or doesn't have good clothes. He's only mindful of one thing. A real God-called minister with the Spirit of the Lord is only mindful of one thing, and that's the very life within him crying out. It's the Spirit of the Lord in that man crying out. It's the Spirit of the Lord calling out that God would be manifested in his people. He's trying to achieve something for the glory of God. And that man in doing so will act the very life of the Spirit that's in him. He'll act it out. And that's how you can discern. Now, we don't have discernment like Brother Brown did, but you can still tell. Discernment is to tell whether something's right or wrong, to tell what's going on. And you can tell by seeing the Spirit of the Lord act out in other believers. Oh, thank God tonight we can see the Spirit of the Lord acting out and moving in believers. Take, for instance, Moses, how that man had no selfish objectives at all. Not one selfish objective. He could have. Now, you talk about somebody that could have had money or popularity.
Sure.
Moses could have had all the money and all the popularity. He could have had the throne of Egypt. He could have been Pharaoh. He could have been the king of Egypt. Yeah. But because that he was a prophet at heart, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Right,
choosing rather to suffer the persecution and the trials of Christ.
Amen.
That's what Hebrews 11 says. Esteeming the treasures of heaven greater treasures than them of Egypt. All his life was the Spirit of Christ, for Christ was in him. Christ was in Moses. Oh, that was Christ moving in. What was it? The Spirit of the Lord moving in. The Spirit of the Lord to make him act out that Spirit, the attributes of that Spirit, so that when the children of Israel disobeyed God in a way that God was so angry with them, what was Moses ready to do?
Yep.
Because the Spirit of the Lord was on him. He was ready to sacrifice himself. Moses threw himself in the path of God's judgment and said, take me before you take them.
Amen.
In other words, before you can get them, you'll have to come over me. And what was he doing? It was the Spirit of the Lord in him, acting out exactly what was going to happen on the cross one day, thousands of years later, because that's exactly what Jesus did. When God would have wiped the whole face of the earth off with these sinners, you and I, but Christ threw himself in the path. Moses was acting that out. It was the Spirit of God in him. God couldn't do it. He couldn't come over his own son. See the Spirit of God in Moses? The Spirit of God moving in Moses. It was God and Moses did that. The normal thinking intellectual man would never do that. He would take the easy road. Oh, he could have been world famous. He could have all that money and all that popularity, but he chose to suffer the persecution and the affliction. For he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater treasures than that of Egypt. And if you see a person with a great gift trying to do something to glorify themselves, your own discernment of the Spirit tells you that's wrong. Yep. It's wrong to see somebody try to lift themselves up, be puffed up within themselves. Oh, but when you see somebody lower themselves, that God could be manifested. Lower themselves to lift up somebody else, to help somebody else along the way, to give a word of encouragement. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with them. The purpose of all these spiritual gifts is to benefit or profit the entire church body, not just the individual. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with them. Watch what the Spirit of God and Joseph did. You can see the Spirit of God moving in all these Old Testament saints. Moving on into the New Testament, and what it's doing is actually acting out the attributes of God in these people. And just like it'll do in you and I, if the Spirit of the Lord can get a hold of us. Watch the Spirit of God in Joseph. Watch what he did. He was hated of his brethren. They couldn't stand him. He came to bring them peace, but they misunderstood him so much and hated him without a cause. They didn't stop to see what he was trying to achieve. They didn't stop to see what his motives were. And he never did it for self-glory. Nope. They couldn't recognize that Spirit in Joseph. The priest in Jesus' day couldn't discern the Spirit that was in Jesus. Right. If those priests would have only had the discernment of Spirit, regardless of how much the world talked about him, they still would have known if they'd have looked to the Word, if they would have seen his purpose. Right. And what was his purpose? He was always doing that to glorify the Father. He said, I can do nothing till the Father shows me. Right. It's not me that doeth the works. Now, sitting here tonight, if you're really a born-again believer who's yielded themselves to the Spirit of the Lord, it's not you that doeth the works. It wasn't you that took away that cigarette smoking or that vaping or that marijuana or that alcohol. It's Christ. That's where we get all messed up in legalism and things. We're trying to do it ourselves, but it's the born-again, the Spirit of the Lord, and a born-again believer's heart is the one that does it. It's not you that can take away your temperance, no matter how you struggle and strive to give yourself patience. But you can't, by taking thought, you can't add one inch to your stature. You can't add one inch to your height, to your growth. But it's the Lord that's doing it. He said, it's the Father that dwelleth in me. He's the one that doeth the works. It's the Spirit of the Lord in us that's doing the works. He never took the glory. Jesus didn't. How can we take the glory when it's not us that's doing it? That's right. How can we boast of anything? Because it's not us. It's Christ that's
Amen.
Doing it.
Right.
We must have discernment of spirit to see a person what they're trying to do. The Spirit of God. I ought to think tonight that the Spirit of God will make a man act different.
Amen.
In John chapter 10, verses 33 to 38. The Jews were talking to Jesus, and they said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I don't do the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me,
Amen.
And I in him. What's he saying? If you can't believe the things that I'm saying, believe the Spirit of the Lord expressed in me. Believe the works that I'm doing, the actions that I'm doing. Believe my motives and my objectives. Why? Because the Spirit of God working in a man will always make the man act like God.
Amen.
The Spirit of God working and moving in a man is going to make that man an expression of deity.
Yes.
And that's why the Old Testament scripture says, it's written, it actually says, I have said, ye are gods. I have said, ye are gods. Now, if you could see the Spirit of God in Moses, which he was God, the Spirit of God in Moses, which he was God, Moses was a God. Why? Because that was God working in that man. Not the God, but it made him a God, an expression of deity. Now, Joseph was a God. Joseph was a God, and the prophets were gods. Now, what about in this day? You take that same Spirit of the Lord that can come into a person by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not on their spirit, but in their soul, expressing themselves, expressing God through that person, and that makes that person a God. They were gods because, why were they gods? They were gods because they had completely surrendered themselves to the Spirit of God, that they were working for the glory of God. Now, that's the whole Christian journey, to lay down your own will and your own desires and your own motives and your own objectives for the glory of God. And then it can be said of you, ye are gods. And that's what the scripture said. And that's what the Pharisees stumbled over. They stumbled because he said, I'm God. But to make a confession like that, that you are actually an expression of deity. Brother Bram would say, when a man is anointed of the Spirit of God, his habits, his actions, and everything is God moving in him. You ought to think about that tonight, that your habits can be so overtaken of God until your habits become God's habits. Your actions become God's actions. That everything about you becomes deity expressed. Everything is God moving in him. And sometimes that makes him misjudged. Or you think about those Old Testament prophets when they began to speak and do things that maybe their peers would look at them and, why are they acting like that? That's so strange. Look at David in the 23rd Psalm when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And everybody look at him and, what are you talking about? You're talking like a crazy person. Why do you say that God has forsaken you? As if he was saying it as if he was, David was the man. But it was the Spirit of the Lord moving in him to cry out. Oh, if we could recognize when we come to church sometimes that it's not just the man that we're listening to, but it's the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us. If we could recognize sometimes when we come to church that that person on the pew is not just somebody, some man or some sister, but it's God tabernacling himself behind the badger skins of their flesh. And how do you know? How can you discern it? Because you can look at the actions. You can look at the Spirit of the Lord reflecting himself and acting and his habits and his doings and all the things that are moving in that person's life, showing that God is there. It wasn't David. It was a spirit crying out through David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? My bones all stare at me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. How could you say that, David, that they pierced your hands and your feet? What are you talking about, you crazy man? You don't make any sense, but it was the Spirit of the Lord in him speaking out and crying out. Somebody else say, listen to that hypocrite up there. Whose hands is pierced? Whose feet is pierced? And that's the intellectual. That's the intellectual mind unable to understand. But one who had discernment of spirit knew that that was the Spirit of God in him crying out. Oh, if we come to church, if we've got the spirit of discernment to know what we're listening to know what we're doing in church, that it's not just a vain act to come to church and sit and let the word have an effect in our lives, but the Spirit of the Lord is actually moving and working here. And when a man is anointed of the Spirit of God, he's got the action of God. And the action of God is never to break us up. What is the action of God? To bind us together, to unite us together, to bring us all together, to mend up problems, to mend up broken hearts, to mend up differences, to bring us together. That's what the Spirit of the Lord will do. The action of God is to draw us together, for we are one in Christ Jesus, and God's purpose is to bring us together. Oh, you can really recognize that it's the Spirit of the Lord moving when people that are different can look at one another and love one another. When somebody has a difference with you, maybe your spouse has a difference with you, but yet you love them anyway. Oh, when you can really express love, then you know that God is working. Oh, that's why love is all the way up at the top here. You can know that God is working when you come to a place of maturity and you love somebody that smacks your face. You love somebody that scoffs at you. You can love despite everything that you love. And God, that's the attribute of God, is love. Look at David when he was dethroned as the king of Israel. When Absalom took the throne away from him and they kicked him out, He was rejected by his own people going up Mount of Olives north of Jerusalem. And he looked back over the city and wept because he was rejected. David looking over that city with love. What was it? What was it? It was the Spirit of Christ echoing that one day Christ would look down over that city of Jerusalem and he'd say, how oft, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you, your different denominations and everything as a hen does her brood, but you would not. The same Spirit that was in David that was manifested in fullness in Christ is in the church today crying to the people. How oft would I gather you? It's that same Spirit that was in Christ, that same Spirit that was in David, that same Spirit is now in God's people crying the same thing. Because the attribute, oh, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always going to be manifested in the same way. His attributes don't change. And when you see separations and differences and brotherhood broken up in Christian life, one against the other, then it makes the Spirit of God in your heart cry out. What are you doing? You're trying to achieve something. A true prophet of God, a true teacher, is trying to bring the church to a unity of spirit, a unity of spirit that they might recognize God. Amen. Where is that in the Bible tonight, Brother Branham, Brother Bob? It's in Ephesians 4:11-12. Right. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. And that's what the preachers are doing, preaching a word to bring us to unity, to tear down division, to tear down all this discord and bring us together into a unity of oneness. We have discernment of spirit to discern the spirit that's in the man to see if it be the Spirit of God or not. Now, when David was walking up the Mount of Olives, when Absalom put himself up and David was walking up the rejected king, and that old cripple, Shimei, let me get it right. That's an odd one to pronounce. Shimei, that cripple began to spit on him and make fun of him and say things about him. And what was David's reaction? David's got to have a reaction like Christ.
Right.
If the Spirit of the Lord is moving in him.
Right.
That crippled man, it represents the spiritual crippleness of the people today that would make fun of the true Spirit of God and Christ manifesting itself. But watch the Spirit of Christ in David, Brother Ram said. He said, let him alone. For the Lord has told him to curse me. You know, I think one of the greatest tests of a man's maturity is to let somebody disagree with you. Let somebody disagree with you. And that will really see what's down on the inside of a man. You let somebody disagree with you at work. You know, you're on a conference call and somebody will say something that will really, like, put you down, make you feel terrible. What's your reaction going to be? And sometimes God will take the hands off, take a step back, and let something like that happen to see what you're going to do. Now, if you haven't been tested yet, you certainly will be. You absolutely will be. You can just bank everything on that. You've got to come through the hall of critics. Sooner or later, somebody's going to say something that rubs you a little bit wrong. And it depends. How are you going to react? Are you going to have temperance? Are you going to have patience? Now, if you fail the test, just keep going. You'll loop back around, sure as anything, and the test will be retaken, because you got to come to a place where you can take the test, and that you got to come to a place where you pass that Garden of Gethsemane test. Now, you think about that test that Jesus took there in the garden. He could have stepped away from the situation, gone and had a nice little family, found a little girl, got married to her, went on about his life. And he would have never got a change of the body, because you got to die to yourself.
Amen.
To get a change of the body.
Right.
You got to completely die to your will.
Amen.
The only way for him to come out of that grave and get a new body, don't cabbage down on me. I'm not talking about a new body. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But for his body to be changed was for him to die. You got to die to your self-will. Now, see, you've been born again, you've been growing, and all these things, you've been growing, you've been coming up and everything, but yet there's that little bit of will that's left where you think that you got to do it this certain way, or something's got to go this way, or you got to die. You got to completely die. And what a challenge that was there in that Garden of Gethsemane. All night long, Jesus is going it. Three times he went to his disciples. Can y'all not pray with me just for a little bit? But his disciples were asleep. Why? Because it wasn't time for them to die. They needed to be born again. They didn't have that Spirit of the Lord working in them yet. They didn't even know what was going on. But Jesus knew that there was something. Oh, that was where the test was, and there in that Garden of Gethsemane. And after, as the morning broke, as the cock began to cry, the battle was over because he had done died to himself. And now all he had to do was go through the motions, go through the cross, have him flay his skin, all those things. But the dying in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's where the battle was. That's where that a long time battle in the middle of the night where nobody else knows what's going on, but you're dying out to yourself. And you, every one of you, if you're going to come to a body change, you've got to go through that battle. It must be done. You've got to die to yourself, die to your will, die to where you can say, like Jesus did on that cross, Father, forgive them. Die where you can say, like David did to Shimei, let him alone. Put your sword up. Put your sword up to the guard. Put your sword up. Don't take his head. And Jesus come out of that Garden of Gethsemane, and here's Peter with his sword ready to hack off somebody's ear. And Jesus, that's not how we do things. And that's not how a real Christian fights their battles. The Christian doesn't fight their battles with a sword. They take a step back and let vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. They let God handle everything. Brother Bram actually said in that message, discernment of spirits, instead today we want to get our fists and fight him, chop his head off. Yeah, get him out. He don't belong. Isn't that what we want? We want to excommunicate somebody that we don't like. We want to push him out. That's our will. But if we can lay our own will down and let the Spirit of the Lord take over. Let the Spirit of the Lord take over in love. Let the Spirit of the Lord begin to act out. Then you can say, let him alone. And be sincere about it. I'm talking about sincere, not trying to put on something. Well, it says here that I'm supposed to say these words, let him alone. But I'm still so upset. I just can't hardly stand them. I'm talking about a real change in a person's life. We're down from your bowels. You really love that person and can say it from love. Amen. Let him alone, the Spirit of Christ in us. Yeah. Let's remember all these things has got to pass, come to pass. Amen. Like David watching Shimei make fun of him and scoff at him and all these things. It had to come to. He said the Lord actually allowed this to happen. Why? To test me. Right. To test. And God will do the same thing to you and I. He will let things happen to test us. Amen. He wants to see our reaction. He wants us to see our reaction, to see where we are, what we're going to do. Right. Let's keep this discernment of spirit, keep the objective right. Because you know, if you don't react wrong, we're not, there's a flu that's still stopped up. We're not truly opened up enough so that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, can really work in our lives the way that he wants us to. We're here to serve God, each one fellowship and going along and serving God. And if a man's got the wrong kind of an objective, like Shimei, then what'll happen? He'll come to his own. We find out that the Spirit of God was in Christ. All the old prophets spoke of him, all the spirit and portion, every little portion wasn't glorifying itself. And a real true prophet. The real true prophets in the Old Testament weren't glorifying themselves. But all the true prophets were manifesting him, speaking of him. That's what it's all about. He's the main thing. What was it? God speaking of himself all down through the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord speaking about himself. God manifesting himself through these prophets. Not taking glory. Who will be the next president? Who will be this? Jesus there when he's being crucified, and they blindfolded him and struck him and prophesy, who is it that smote thee? Tell us who hit you and we'll believe you. But that ain't it. It's something to manifest God. Amen. Not prophesy who's hitting you so that you can have your own glory, but it's to manifest God. Brother Branham will say, it isn't to make William Branham something great. It isn't to make Oral Roberts something great, Billy Graham something great. And we could go around the whole building tonight. It's not to make Aaron Roberts great. It's not to make Bob Black great. It's not to make Wade Dell great. It's not to make Luis Urego great. All around the building. It's to make, it's to glorify Jesus Christ. What is it? It's the hearts. We're trying to achieve something for the kingdom of God. It's manifesting God. Is your motive to glorify, to manifest yourself, or is your motive to see God manifested in a spirit of unity and oneness? Oh, that's what we're here for. I'm going to skip over all that. David wasn't watching that little old Benjamite throw dirt on him. He was crippled anyhow. He never noticed him. He wouldn't even let the guard cut his head off. Said, let him alone. God told him to do that. God told him to curse me. Let him alone. Something to the glory of God. Something to set the church in order. Something for the power of God. Not to make yourself a name, but to make the glory of God manifested. And you think every prophet spoke of the coming of the Lord. Each one put his part in because he was anointed of God. And that's all he could speak of. What was it? They were speaking about God. When Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, it was the Spirit of the Lord speaking about how God would come. When the prophet said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. When the prophet said, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace upon him, with his stripes we were healed. Amen. And when the prophet said, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey, and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. It was the Spirit of the Lord moving in that prophet to speak about Christ and how he would come.
Amen.
Those priests in Jesus' day didn't have discernment of spirit, who said, away with him, away with him. And on the cross, when they shot out their lips, that's what Psalm 22 said. They shot out their lips when they heard him crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why was it? Because they couldn't discern the spirit.
Nope, right.
They couldn't tell when it was God actually manifesting himself.
Nope.
Just the same as that Benjamite did to David.
Right.
Shimei. Scoffing and making fun. See, he thought David was all wrong because he didn't agree with him on his principles. He didn't understand that it was the Spirit of God and David doing it.
Yep.
And that's where we must discern today.
Amen.
The spirit of a man. How do we know the spirit of a man? You can look at him and see the word actually moving, the Spirit of God actually moving in his life to perform
Amen.
The attributes and the nature of God. What's he trying to do? And you look at a man, what's he trying to do? What's he getting at? Not what group he belongs to or whether he's this or that or whatever he is. But what's he trying to do? What's he getting at? Is he trying to glorify God?
Right.
See what he's trying to achieve and take that. If a man, Brother Brown would say that all the Old Testament, and we'll be finishing up here. I'm not going to preach long tonight. If a man that all the Old Testament theme was about him, all the holy prophets anointed with God's spirit, if all that and everything that they said was fulfilled to the letter exactly in him, surely that great person called the Son of God ought to know how to set up the New Testament church.
Amen.
How did he set up the New Testament church so that his spirit could flow and move
Amen.
In us?
Right.
He set it up on a spiritual, supernatural revelation.
Yep. Amen.
In Matthew chapter 16, we know the scripture. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church,
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against a spiritual, supernatural revelation
Amen.
Of the Spirit of the Lord moving in your life.
Amen.
Something that you didn't learn through no educational line. You didn't learn it through scholarship. Somebody just teaching you all the rudiments. You never learned it through theology.
Right.
People, Brother Brown will say, people are laying too much to that, and they're leaving the spiritual discernment. It's something spiritual, something supernatural happened, where the life of God is the one that teaches you and the one that's moving through you.
Amen.
And the gates of hell are against that. The spiritual revelation of Christ being here now. What are they against? They're against the revelation that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
The gates of hell are against that, but they'll never prevail. And there you are, spiritual discernment to know a real revelation from God. Spiritual discernment, regardless of it is, spiritual discernment to say, regardless of who it is, it's my brother. As long as he's trying to achieve the same purpose that I'm working for. Let him be prophet, deacon, so-and-so. Let God honor him this way. I'm just reading Brother Branham's words. That way, whatever it is, whatever he wants to do, but yet that's my brother. Oh, that's when you're really coming to unity, when you can love one another despite your differences, despite your fallings out, despite all the schisms that the devil wants to stir up, where you just love one another despite it all, that we're working for the same thing. That's why in John 13, it says, "This will all men know you're my disciples when you have love one for the other." The Spirit revealed truth of the kingdom of God to come, looking out to the end yonder, seeing what the prophets cried about, see what Jesus spoke about, and hear the same Holy Spirit in you crying back, "Right, that's right." Amen. Oh, to think that 2,000 years ago, it could be said in John, "This will all men know you're my disciples when you have love one for the other." Right. And now you can echo back and say, "I know that's right."
Amen.
Because you can love. The spiritual revealed truth. I can love my brother regardless of where they go to church, whether they're former or latter or no rain at all, as long as they're in the body of Christ trying to achieve not something for a certain purpose, but the purpose for the kingdom of God and the glory of his coming to reveal and make known his soon appearing. Maybe that should be the title of my message tonight. I love my brother. When you can really put your arms around one another, whether you're white or black or Chinese or Indian or rich or poor or whatever it is, and you can say, "I love my brother. I love you." Because we're all part of the body of Christ. Now there's the Spirit of the Lord moving in his people, where you can love one another. You love because the Spirit of the Lord is moving in you. And you don't care. You don't care if that other person hates you. You don't care if they're like Shimei and they scoff at you and make fun of you. You don't care, but you just love them.
Amen.
Now that's the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
The patriarchs, Brother Bram will say, all differed one from another. You think about all those 12 patriarchs that they got so upset at one another that they couldn't hardly deal with one another till they put Joseph in a well and sent him off. But yet they all had one father. There was a one father, and it should work to one thing. And they rejected the main one in there because he was spiritual. They rejected Joseph because he was spiritual. Oh, but if we can just get focused to where we're just looking for one main thing and forget all of our differences and look to Christ, because we all got one daddy. And we all got one daddy that's going to take us through. We all got one daddy that's watching over us. John chapter 14, 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." That means that the same works will be done in you that was done in Jesus. Why? Because it's the same Spirit of the Lord. The same Spirit of the Lord that worked down through the Old Testament, the same Spirit of the Lord was in Christ, and that same Spirit of the Lord is acting and doing in you and I. An ever true born again prophet of the Lord, as we'll close. I will close on this as a musician can come forward. Every true born again prophet of the Lord, preacher, Sunday school teacher, seer, apostle, missionary, whatever he might be, his whole heart is set, and he's so filled and anointed with the Spirit of God, so anointed, whatever his office is, whatever it might be, to preach or to teach or to evangelize or to see visions, whatever it is, he'll do it for the kingdom of God. And the Spirit of God will speak right back through the man and manifest it's the kingdom of God.
Amen.
All of us brethren together ought to see what we're trying to work for one purpose. So as we close on that, as we stand, let's have spiritual discernment. It's God moving and acting and doing in us. Now tonight, if you don't recognize that Spirit of the Lord in your life, yeah, I think it's time to make a stand. It's time for a dying out. And that we all got to die out. That's the whole Christian journey. I want to die to myself. I want to, maybe we'll say it like this. If you want to die out to something tonight, if there's something lacking in your life, there's a little speck of your will left, let's make up our mind to lay that on the altar of sacrifice. Make up in our mind that every day from here on out, we're going to be zealous and fervent for the Lord. That we're going to do like Paul said, and every day die to ourselves.
Amen.
Die to ourselves that Christ might live. If we can do that, let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we sing. Lord Jesus, you in every heart here tonight, Lord God. Lord, I don't know, but maybe you've pricked a heart here tonight. And Lord Jesus, if there's a heart that's been touched by your word, Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you'll not let them rest. Not let them take just a moment's rest until they fully give in to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want your spirit of the Lord. We want your spirit to have preeminence in our life, to do with us what you need to do, Lord, that your will can be manifested in us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that the scripture says that we are predestinated for your purpose. We're predestinated so that to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That's what our purpose is, Lord, and we want your will in our lives, Lord God. Lord, we've just got to drop our own will. We got to die to our own will, die to our own desires, Lord Jesus. God, help us tonight, Lord Jesus. Like the man that said, Lord, I believe, but help my faith, Lord. Help me, Lord God. I want to believe, Lord Jesus, but help, Lord, if there's all the things that are lacking in my life. I want to believe more. Lord, I want to die out to myself more. I want to die out until there ain't nothing left of Bob Black, until there ain't nothing left but you. Till when people look at me, that's all they see is your actions and your words and your habits. Like Brother Branham said, your habits, not my habits, your habits. And God, surely that will be our desire tonight, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we're looking to you, Lord God, with confidence that you're still the same and you still manifest your attributes the same that you always did. You're still Hebrews 13:8. Lord God, we're looking to you, Lord Jesus. We're expecting, Lord, for you to work in our lives and in our church and in our walk the same way that you did when you were on the shores of Galilee, when you were on earth, Lord God, because you're still the same. And I believe that tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, give liberty, Lord, to us, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you can move among us, Lord Jesus, and do your and work your purpose. Bless us, Lord. Bless the remainder of this service now, Lord God. Let's just worship him now. Now, surely you can recognize that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Surely, if there's anything spiritual about you at all, you can know that the Spirit of God is moving here. Oh, don't you feel that? Now, we're not basing nothing on feelings, but yet you can recognize when God is here. So why don't you just lift your hands or worship? I'll tell you what, worship him in whatever way you want to. I'm not going to tell you how to worship. You worship the way that God is calling you to worship. If you want to just sit there and just meditate on the Lord, if you want to close your eyes, if you want to lift one hand or both hands, if you want to run up and down the aisle, you do it however you want to do it. But if God's drawing you, or you just got, there's something in you. If your heart's pulsating, there's something in you that makes you just want to respond, or you just want to give something up to God. You want to give up part of yourself to him and say, God, take me and use me, and use me the way that you want to. Use me, Lord Jesus, and take every speck of myself, Lord God. Let me die to myself. Oh, that's in my prayer tonight.
Moments like these,
just worship him now.
I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus.
Is that what it is to you? Is it a love song? Are you in love with him? If you've fallen out of love, why don't you come back to him tonight?
I lift up my hands.
God wants your heart.
I lift
he wants you to love him so he can use you.
The Lord. Singing out
loud. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I love you. How could you not love him? How could you not love him for his mercy and for his goodness?
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song.
Jesus,
in moments like
Surely I know the Lord is here. If you've got a need tonight, don't leave the building. You come with faith. You can sit there in your seat and you can believe. Or if you need a little special boost, we'll pray for you. But don't walk out of here if there's something you need. If there's a little bit more dying out, you feel at liberty to come and come up to the altar and we'll pray with you. Because there's a spirit of the Lord in the place tonight. There's a spirit of the Lord here that can give you a liberty if you need to be set free. Oh, God is here tonight. If you need to raise up those hands and let the shackles drop off, you know that God is moving here. Well, thank God that God hasn't forgotten us. Oh, surely you can recognize that the Spirit of the Lord is moving to remind you that He still cares about you, that He still loves you, to remind you that He wants to woo over you and move in your heart and claim you for Himself. Oh, just worship Him. Oh, thank you, God, for your mercies and for your grace to us. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, for your love to us. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for saving us and for keeping us and for cleaning us up. Thank you, God, for a holy life. Thank you, God, for your holiness and for your spirit, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for your spirit to act out in the believer, to change us to be like you. Oh, God, what a God we've got. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord.
Singing, I God we serve. That God that was slain upon the tree. By his stripes we're healed. And by his blood we're sealed. In other words, he done took care of everything. We don't have to worry about nothing. Oh, let that echo in your mind tonight. Throw all your cares on him. Let him worry about it. I'll take no thought for the morrow. If he can take care of the sparrow and the lily, he can take care of you. He can take care of your job situation. He can take care of those problems in your life. Just throw it all on him and let him deal with it. Now let's think about that as we'll sing another song and we'll be dismissed. And let your heart be merry and let your heart have hope in it as you go through the doors tonight. God bless you, saints. Let's sing another song and then you'll be dismissed.
And when this battle's over, we shall
wear a crown. Remember the service on Saturday. We'll put it in WhatsApp too.
We shall wear a crown.